news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Finally, Donald Trump on Monday said that he had told his administration to work with President-elect Joe Biden's transition team in the best interest of the country. Trump had blocked the transition process for 3 weeks as he tried to overturn the election results, challenging the vote count in several battleground states with allegations of fraud and, of course, no evidence. But he still didn't concede, although the certification of his loss in Michigan suggested his options were running out. Emily Murphy, remember her, the administrator of the General Services Administration? She wrote a letter to Joe Biden saying that the transition can begin, releasing millions of dollars in funds and clearing the way for a new administration. But, she wrote, quote, please know that I came to my decision independently based on the law and the available facts. Donald Trump on Twitter explained that he had instructed Murphy to start the transition protocols, then tweeted, I will prevail, before thanking her for her work just a few minutes later. Well, that all happened after Michigan's Board of State Canvassers certified the state's election results earlier in the day, confirming that President-elect Joe Biden won the state by about 154,000 votes. The four-member bipartisan board approved the move in a 3-0 vote with one abstention. Biden now gets all of Michigan's 16 electoral votes. Biden won the state by 2.8 percentage points, larger than his margin in other states where Trump is still challenging the results, including Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, President-elect Joe Biden is rolling out the names of his staff, advisors, and cabinet members. His first announcement was Ron Klain as his White House chief of staff. Klain was, of course, then Vice President Biden's chief of staff and also the Obama administration's Ebola czar, experience that will come in handy as it's up to this incoming administration to get us out of this COVID mess. On Monday evening, we learned that former Fed chair Janet Yellen is Biden's pick for Treasury. She'll be the first woman to run the Treasury Department as Treasury Secretary. An economist, Janet Yellen would also be the first person ever to serve as leader of the Treasury, the Fed, and the White House Council of Economic Advisors. So Biden's first order of business? Rolling out the key members of his national security team.
Alejandro Mayorkas, who would become the first Latino to run the Department of Homeland Security, the agency tasked with the nation's immigration policy. Avril Haines, a former deputy CIA director, who would become the first woman to lead the nation's intelligence community as Director of National Intelligence. And John Kerry, the longtime senator and former Secretary of State, to serve as an international climate czar, a new post underscoring Biden's commitment to fighting climate change. The president-elect is wasting no time filling his team, expediting his announcements, in part, CNN has learned, because President Trump is still seeking to sabotage the outcome. Biden making clear again today he is surrounding himself with experienced hands, many of whom he's worked with for years in the Senate and White House.
And now, on a personal note, it gives me particular pleasure to introduce a man who has been my mentor, my partner, my friend, and the greatest public servant I know, the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden.
That's Tony Blinken, a longtime advisor, now to be nominated as Secretary of State. Jake Sullivan, another longtime aide, to be named as National Security Advisor. And Linda Thomas Greenfield, a veteran Foreign Service officer who served in posts around the world, to be U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Through the announcements, Biden is seeking to send the world a message that he intends to prioritize rebuilding America's frayed alliances.
And Biden's new transition website is finally where it belongs, at buildbackbetter.gov. And now begins the task of dismantling Donald Trump's directives. General Motors CEO Mary Barra on Monday withdrew GM's support for Trump's plans to prohibit California from using its own authority to raise fuel economy standards. In a letter she wrote to leaders of some of the biggest U.S. environmental groups, Barra wrote that the company was preparing to work with President-elect Joe Biden on his push to reduce climate warming emissions. Quote, President-elect Biden recently said, I believe that we can own the 21st century car market again by moving to electric vehicles. We at General Motors couldn't agree more. Barra urged Toyota and Fiat Chrysler to join GM, one of the world's largest automakers, in pulling support for the Trump administration's litigation against California. Speaking of California, Senator Dianne Feinstein finally announced Monday that she will step down as the ranking Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee next year. You may recall that she faced sharp criticism from progressives and others for her praise of Chair Lindsey Graham, crediting him for holding what she described as one of the best set of hearings that I've participated in. She was talking about the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation hearings. Wow. So, Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois is next in line for the job, followed by Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. Durbin is expected to express interest in the position. I'll wait for Sheldon Whitehouse. On the COVID front, it is ugly out there. Despite dire warnings from the CDC, almost pleading with people not to travel over Thanksgiving, the TSA reported its busiest travel weekend since March, with over 3 million people traveling in the past 3 days alone. In the 9 months since February, nearly 12.4 million coronavirus cases and 256,000 fatalities have been reported in the United States. The number of coronavirus patients hospitalized across the nation shattered records on Monday, topping 85,700. Some states reporting they have no ICU beds left. Although some of the hardest hit states are beginning to report fewer new infections, Thanksgiving travel and gatherings could reverse that trend. Even after cases peak, deaths continue rising for several weeks. So maybe this year we all just stay home and have a virtual Thanksgiving? Just a suggestion. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.